He's like, you know, in the New Testament, he's described as a mother hen, and he just wraps his arm around his people, his children, and he protects us with his love. So we want to teach you this song because it really fits in with our whole service. I just been hearing it this week, and God just laid it on my heart kind of this morning that we just got to learn it. These guys didn't know anything about that, so they're still mad at me, but it's okay. They get over it quickly.
We forgive you. This time.
It goes like this. You are my joy. You are my song. You are the well, the one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. Where else could I go? Surely my God.
Your love defends me.
God, you are our salvation. You are our rock. And God, we're so glad to be here today. Lord, you brought us here for a purpose. And so, Lord, we just lift our eyes and we lift up our hearts to you, God. We want to hear from you today. And God, we just want to worship you in everything that we do. God, you have a message for us. So thank you for that, God. Thank you. Thank you that you are a great, great Father. And Holy Spirit, we just pray that you will be just filling this place, God. We want you. We want you here. So open our hearts, God. Let us hear you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Hey, let's sing some more, guys.
Here we go.
Surely my God, strength of my song, your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me.
Let's stand up.
Your love defends me.
Praise God. Am I hearing you? Amen. So if you have any issues for the board, bring them to the board. You can bring them through a letter, or you can come and see the board. This is worship. This is about God, and we just keep it about God, all right? We want to praise him. He's worthy of our praise. Yeah, we can clap. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're such a great God, and it was so fun to sing with you guys today, just to worship together. One of the things that God's been showing us last couple weeks ago through Ravi when he spoke, and with Pauline speaking on Sunday as well, just, you know, the newness that God's doing a new thing. We keep kind of hearing that message that he takes something old. I love how God does that. He doesn't always just create a nothing, but sometimes he takes something that's old and he just makes it brand new again. Amen? Yeah. He does that in our lives. And I think that it's really a message that isn't just for, you know, the church in general, but it's for you as individuals too. It's for all of us. That really what God wants to do is he wants to make something brand new out of you. And he's already done it. He's done it through Jesus. He's done it through the pouring out of his blood. You're not that old thing anymore. You're brand new. Amen? And I'm going to just show you a couple pictures. Are you going to play that clip first? You want to do the clip first? So we want to talk a little bit this morning just to kind of keep you informed about the thrift store that we're hoping to open up here in a few months. So I'm going to show a few pictures, and then there's a couple of testimonies first, right? So you want to, about what? About a month ago, we went to the old Cowboys Bar, and we went there after church. Again, it's summertime, and half the people are gone all the time, it seems. But pretty soon, everyone's coming back. We're getting the army back together again. So why don't you go ahead, Chad, and play a couple of these clips. Tim, is that the only shirt you got, or what? Yeah. Okay, we'll be all right here. Can you just say what you said before? Just kidding. He just has to. There we go.
Walking in here this morning is like when we, it reminded me of walking into the Buffalo when we first purchased that building. The smell of the beer. And just the open space. And look what God has done since then.
Amen.
One, go.
Just about. Everybody, we're just here at Cowboys in Red Deer, Potter Sands Church. We're purchasing this building, and just noticed there was a poster that we found in here, and it's if you look down to the right-hand corner, you'll see somebody that's a little bit defiant, and they're saying the Battle of Red Deer, and it says we got to take the tower back. Well, the church. Is taking the city back.
Yes.
The church is taking the city back. This place right here, Cowboys Bar, when you stop and think about it, it was dedicated to Satan.
Yeah.
Satan's work was happening in this building, in this place, in this territory, in the city of Red Deer.
Yeah.
This was Satan's ground.
Yeah.
So the church, not just Potter's Hands taking this back, but God is wanting to get a message to all the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Start taking back what the enemy used to have.
That's right.
Because God wants his children. If you look in the Word of God, it says he wants his children to inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
He wants his children to take back
what
the enemy has stolen.
Amen.
Yes.
Totally.
Amen.
Yes.
So we just thank God that he wants us to partnership with him.
Exactly.
This is God's idea. It's not our idea.
Amen.
This is God's idea to take back. Yeah. This is just one part of the city of Red Deer where Jesus is asking, let's take this back and then watch what happens next.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Never away at everything else.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good, right? So, you know, God's doing some really cool things, and we're just so grateful for that. This is a great opportunity. And obviously, we're going to have a lot of different opinions, like what color should the floor be, what color should this be, how big should this be. So right now, it's not about, you know, definitive things. We just have some preliminary. And we just want to share it with you because I think it's important that you keep dreaming this dream with us and that we keep praying about this. So do you have some pictures of the old bar first or not? Okay, that looks like part of it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so that, if you weren't able to come, that's what the inside looks like. It's pretty grungy. But that can be changed. So we were there and we walked through that building and we did some praying and some singing. And that's what you might recognize it now. This is the one that's right on Main Street there, kind of close to Portacall Safeway. And we're going to get possession in about a month, so end of September. And then there's going to be some joint work parties and people who are able to work during the day and maybe some Saturdays. We're going to kind of clean the whole thing out. We've got to kind of gut it and then turn it into something, because that's kind of what God does, right? He takes something old and something that really is dark, a pretty dark place, and smelly, and he turns it into something that's very light because of the glory of the Lord, and that's really the plan. And like I said, you're going to say, well, he said this over and over again. I'm just going to keep saying it, so get used to it, that this really isn't about the clothing and about the boots and the old sports equipment. That's a part of it. But the real heart of why this is such a great dream from God is because it's going to be a place where we get to meet all kinds of new people who don't know Jesus yet. And people are going to come in to volunteer because it's a good cause. I think most people in Red Deer would agree, feeding the hungry and finding homes for the homeless, you know, and helping people who are poor. Hey, I want to be part of that. So we believe that this is going to be a great attraction to get to meet other people who are probably really good people. They just don't know Jesus Christ yet. And one of the things that we've learned from the kitchen is one of the best ways that we've been able to disciple and get to know people is just by washing dishes with them and cooking some food and standing next to them. And just they get to realize that we're just normal people, but we've got the light of Jesus. We've got the joy of the Lord. And, you know, on some occasions, people have said to me and to other people, hey, what is this about you guys? How do I get this? Where can I find this joy? So that's the purpose. That's really what we're excited about, is that we're going to see many people join us just in wanting to be a part of this. And we get the opportunity to get to know them and to show them who Christ is. Because we can't help but do that. He shines in our lives. If he really lives in us, he will pour out from us. So, amen? So, yeah, that's good. So there's what the building looks like. And just kind of briefly, I'm going to show you a couple of other pictures. You want to show the floor plan picture next? So this is facing Main Gates Avenue, and that would be the backside would be Little Gates. Okay, so the entrance will come through like we walk through here. All this green area here is about 9,400 square feet. So this will be this could change somewhat. But that's sort of the area that we see as a thrift store. We think that if we're going to do a thrift store, we've got to do it right. You can't just build a small one. It can't be grungy and dirty. It's got to be clean. It's got to be big. It's got to offer a lot of stuff for people. So when they come in, what they're looking for is going to be there. So a big part of that building is going to be the thrift store. It's a 15,000 square foot building. There's about 9,500 that's going to be dedicated to the thrift store. The back is for possible future move of our kitchen. Now, I say possible because we don't know yet how God's going to lead that. It may be we need more space for the thrift store. So we're going to do this in stages. So the first stage is going to be just do a thrift store, keep the soup kitchen where it is, keep art from the streets where it is for now. But as the thrift store starts to work and becomes successful, we may be able to, we'll find out how many square feet we need, and hopefully we'll be able to move our soup kitchen over there as well. And then so there'll be a kitchen that will serve the soup kitchen, serve the people who come in who have the need for food. But it's also there's also a possibility that kitchen out of a different side would serve food to a little cafe. So that's another part of this dream, is that while people come in to the thrift store, they can sit down. People will be drawing and doing their painting as art from the streets. And they'll be able to have a coffee or a muffin. You see how that goes? Thanks. So you see the brown area? That's kind of where art from the streets would be. It gets bigger and bigger. There we go. So the idea would be that the kitchen could serve two purposes. A little cafe could be open whenever we're able to open it. And then, again, serving the normal meals that we were serving. Another thing, just again, I'm just sort of throwing it all out, and I don't know. I don't have most of the questions you're going to have, the answer is going to be, I have no idea. But we will find out. I do want you to know this, though, that we've been approached by a pregnancy care center, and they're asking, and this is right now just something to pray about, but they're asking whether there's a potential that we might be able to partner together in this. They've also had a dream to open some kind of a smaller thrift store, and whether they're able to do that or not, I don't know. But so we're having some talks about that, and we're just praying about that. We don't want to hold on to this thing so tightly that it's just got to be ours. This is my ball. I'm only going to play with it. No one else gets to play with it. And there might be a real good message that we send to the rest of the city that we can work together. as other Christian communities. We don't have to have our own domain. We don't need to draw a circle and say, no one get in my circle. So, and there may be some real benefits to just working with Pregnancy Care Center. The idea would be that they just deal with things that are, you know, items, clothing, toys that are like for kids 2 and under, and that they would rent part of the space, and then we would use the rest of the space to do other things that we want to sell, you know, other different things. So, something to pray about. You may never hear about it again. Who knows? But I just don't want you to be uninformed. We don't want to keep anything from you. I want you to know what to pray about. Am I missing anything, Crystal? Oh, yeah, I'm missing that. So this is what we hope the building's ultimately going to look like. We're going to take all those ugly awnings off of it. We're going to square it up and put some nice windows in it. I don't know exactly if those are the colors, so don't come to me after the church and say, I'm quitting church because I hate orange and blue. All right, because it may not be orange and blue. All right, so we're not connected. We don't have any vested interest in this. This is just an idea. But we want it to look clean. We want it to look bright. We want it to be modernized and have some doors that are, you know, nice to go through. So that's in two areas where we can do big signage. And the building kind of lends itself to that. There's two big areas on sort of the either side of the building where we can do some great signage. And one of the things that I think we're going to want to promote is just that any of the proceeds that come from the thrift store are going to be going back into Red Deer. This will be the only thrift store that stays local in terms of the profits. And the money's going to go to help with people who are hungry, people who, you know, maybe programs for people who can learn life skills. And so we're hoping that that's, you know, going to be something that people will be attracted to, right? That whatever comes out of the thrift store, it's going to be to help people who need food and who need clothing and who need a place to live. And like, you know, that's the heartbeat of what we're doing. And that's, it really fits in, I think, that we've been able to house people who didn't have places to live. We've been able to feed people who are hungry. Now we're going to be able to clothe people. And that might be a hockey helmet. I don't know. But, you know, the Bible says that we should clothe those, you know, who need clothing. So we have an opportunity to do that too. Isn't that great? I'm going to take a couple questions. I may say I have no idea. But if you have a question, we're just ask it. You can ask. Yeah. Could be. I haven't heard that, but I'm not against it. So yeah, and somehow God's been sort of, you know, if we mapped out the vision of our church, I don't think we ever would have expected that we would be part of closing down the Buffalo and the Valley and now the Cowboys. I don't know what kind of ministry that really is, but I'm happy to be a part of it. So that's okay. Yeah, Lynn. Stand up.
I was out walking the other day, and one of our nice clients, just a little quiet guy, he doesn't say too much, I don't even know his name, but I went to buy this clock, and he said, oh, hi, how you doing? I said, hi, how you doing, buddy? I say hi to everybody, all my clients. I don't care who's with me or whatever. I say hi to them. But anyways, he said, oh, let me buy that for you. And I said, are you sure? And he said, yeah, I really want to give you something back. He said, because you feed us all the time. And you're always so happy and pleasant when you do it. He said, I'd like to give you something back. So my point is, there's a lot of gratitude in this community. You know, there really is. And it's not like we're working for a deadbeat source. There's a lot of gratitude.
He's a living God.
That's right.
That's what you're saying.
And there's a lot of room for improvement there, right?
Amen.
And some of these people are really willing. They just don't know how. So we have to show them how.
Amen. Good words.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I'm going to get the mic. Just someone bring the mic around so that we hear people. But, you know, we got to just stop here a second because that's an important thing that I miss what you just said is that it's not just the volunteers, you know, generally out there, but there's a lot of people that we work with at the kitchen who are looking for things to do too, right? And what a great way to get involved and to be productive and to feel like you're contributing, you know, and not everyone's going to get paid. I get this question too from people, you know, can I get on the payroll? And the answer to that question is no. We can't all be on payroll. This is going to be volunteer-driven, and once the Lord shows that this is starting to work, and we really believe this is going to work, there's going to be a profit. There will be some people who can be employed through this. We just don't know how that's going to happen or who's going to do that at this point. So be patient with that. See, there you go. We got a volunteer with Sherry. Okay, Dave, how are you doing? You're going to volunteer. Good. There you go. I like that. You wanted to let him bring you the mic kit?
I just want to know who to go to volunteer. Who do I speak with?
Chad.
Okay.
I guess I just volunteered.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good question. We don't have the answer to that yet. I think what's going to happen is there will be a steering committee that the board will choose, because we don't want one person picking anything. We want a group of people saying, here's, because one of the big things is going to be, and we really need to pray about this, is who is a qualified person to run this whole thing. And it's a big job. So we're going to have a sort of a steering committee that helps to choose that kind of thing and even pick names. And there'll be, you know, sort of some representatives from among us doing that. And then when it gets to the point where we say, hey, we're ready for volunteers, I promise you, you'll hear about it. Anyone else? Crystal. We're going to not litter all over the place with it. She's a good question. She says, what do you do with the stuff that doesn't sell? So we know that, like old clothing, most of what happens in the thrift store, about 80% will be clothing, and then there's other things. But clothing you can sell. You can kind of sell it in bulk and sell it by the pound. So we're going to take whatever we get of stuff that's considered to be junk and try to, like metal, for example. We'll have a metal bin. We'll have a paper bin. We'll have a clothing bin. And you can sell that and sell it by the pound and get a little bit of money that way, too. So try to be as responsible as we can with what we're given. That's a good question. If you want to be in charge of that, let me know. Okay? Everyone kind of... Yeah. To the Ministry of Potter's Hands. So it will go to back into the community through Potter's Hands. Yeah. So, of course, we've got to pay our expenses. So after we pay our utilities and mortgage and the rent and those kind of things, that's a normal way to do things, right? So it's not it'll be the net profit. Yeah, whatever profit we can make, and I'm praying that there will be one, that, yeah, it's going to go back into supporting what we're doing and supporting the vision that we have for the downtown. All right? Maybe that's all we need to say for now. Tim, would you pray about this and just pray for the word and come on up here and talk into my ear?
Well, Lord, we just we thank you, Father, for the plans and purposes that you have for us individually and as a church corporately. And that, Father, we just ask, God, that we've kind of heard what the vision is here. And, Lord, we just ask you. We ask you to put it together, Lord. Help us work together as a church, as a body of Christ, to see where we can each help out, in what way, in what manner. And Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this opportunity. And the Word of God says, you know, that we're to make the most of every opportunity. So, Lord, help us as a church make the most of this opportunity, and let's do it together. In Jesus' name,
amen. You guys all seem kind of quiet. So I'm just thinking I got to do this too, Brett. Can you just come up here a minute? Sorry. I've known Brett for a long time. Not most of you do. He's a good friend of Paul and Kendall's. And Brett's been we've been friends with Brian, and I have been friends for a long time, this guy sitting here. And play hockey together for many, many years. So he set me up for most of the goals I've ever scored. But Brett is a really cool man of God, and in a few weeks he's going on a YWAM mission to Medicine Hat. You got a microphone still? Can someone just bring me one of those mics? And I know that you're really brave and bold, and you don't mind sharing a little bit. I'm throwing this at you a little bit today, but I just want to pray for you. And I know that's still a few weeks away, but we had a great coffee this week. I was just really encouraged by having coffee with Brett, and he is going to be. I'll let you tell us what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, so I'll be going to the Medicine Hat Global Prayer House. Not sure if you've heard of it. Mm-hmm. And there's a 5-month internship where 3 months you do a lecture phase. So you do each week will be having different teachers from internationally or staff from the Global Prayer House, and they'll speak on different topics each week. And we'll be doing like small groups and groups. It really like brings you together close and really like pushes you to learn, pushes you to be bold, pushes you to grow out of your comfort zone and like into who God wants you to be. And then there'll be a 2-month outreach, which they're still deciding, but it'll be overseas. So we take what we learned and we apply it to overseas. So we'll be speaking to prisons, we'll be speaking to churches, to schools, to little children, all the sorts, and just praying over healing and preaching to them, seeing salvation, seeing deliverances, and yeah.
That's cool. Amen. Yeah, that's good. You want to come up here? Both of you. These guys know about the international. I know you don't know much about it, but you still can pray, though. So Mark's been involved and has been to the International House of Prayer. Is that what it's called? Or is that just a pancake house? Global. No. We're going to pray for you, okay? We just feel like that we need to do that, and both of you can just pray for Brett, all right?
God, thank you for the way that you move in our lives. Thank you for the way you are moving in Brett's life. You know him. You love him. You have plans for him, God,
right.
that are good and are exciting and will bring you glory and honor. And, God, we just thank you for that, God. So protect him, God. The enemy would not want this.
That's
the
right.
enemy would want to come against him in
yeah.
all types of ways. But, mm-hmm. God, you're bigger than the enemy
Amen.
Is, and
Amen.
He has been defeated. And so, God, we just pray your protection over Brett, God,
yes.
that you'd just cover him
Thank
and protect
Jesus.
Him in front of him and behind him,
Thank
on both
Jesus.
Sides of him, above him and beneath
Thank
him,
Jesus.
God, that your angels would be surrounding him constantly, and that he would just feel your manifest presence in his life, God, that he'd be bold, God, that he would be bold
yes,
as he walks in your favor
mm-hmm.
and in your truth and in your love and in your victory and in your joy
oh, yeah.
and that this boldness, God, would spread to others and that they would see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ because
Amen.
Of what you're doing in
Amen.
His life. Come,
thank
Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
Thank you, God, for joining him.
Thank you, God,
thank you, God for drawing him to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now use him, God, as your faithful servant in Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for the instructors and everybody down there in Medicine Hat. You have an amazing team of believers who are teaching your truth. And so I thank you for Brett, and I pray that you will reveal to him his God-given identity and the skills and abilities that he has that you will raise him up to use for your kingdom, Father. Thank you, God, that you are going with him.
Yes, God.
Thank you that for all that you will do through him. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And Brett's promised to come back and share, you know, throughout the process of this. We get to hear maybe once or twice just how God's doing and what God, not how God is doing. We know God's always doing good, but just how he's teaching you and what you're learning and just some of the exciting things that are going to happen. And we're excited for you. And we just feel like in some ways we just get to send you, you know, with this prayer and with the prayers of your people. And there are many other people here right now that we're going to commit ourselves to continue to pray for you through this time. Amen. Okay, it's time to hear God's word, and it's important that we do that. Do you want to get me a water? Yeah. So thank God for his word, and I just got to sort of start off this morning by saying that in some ways this is a little bit of a different message. It's a different teaching. It's sort of a new teaching for me, and it isn't a teaching from my background or from where I was taught in seminary. It's in some ways, this is kind of a new revelation for me. So be prepared for that. But also know that, you know, kind of giving this disclaimer before we start, you know, warning, you know, preacher doesn't have a clue what he's talking about. We're not done this week. I'm going to be talking about this more. There's some new teaching here for me, but I'm excited about it. And it kind of, when I start to understand this in a new way, it frees things up. It makes me see things differently than I didn't see before. And you have no idea what I'm talking about yet, but we'll get to that. It sort of started with a question for me as I was reading through the book of Mark. It's a question about when Jesus sends out his disciples, when he does it a couple different times, you know, what does he tell them to do? And been reading some of that instruction. And what does he, even more importantly, it sort of starts with a question of what does he tell them to say? Because I think that's really important, because I'm not sure that we know that very well. You know, you go out and you're witnessing to people, or you're at the kitchen, or you got a neighbor, you want to tell them about Jesus. You know, how do you do that? We know that he says he's always going to be with us, and we know that he promises us that he'll always give us the words that we need, but maybe we need to take a little closer look at what he actually says to his disciples and how he instructs them to go out into the world. What does he tell them to say to the world? And the reality is, the truth is, or one of the things I discovered is that he really doesn't tell them to say much at all. He doesn't say, well, here's the 17 things that you need to tell the world. And if you get through all 17, then probably this person will get on their knees and they'll accept Jesus into their hearts. It doesn't say that. Here's what it says. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. And after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. And this is what Jesus said. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Period. Like, it ends there, right? He doesn't say, and now let me tell you about how much God loves you. Let me tell you John 3:16. Let's talk about eternal life. He doesn't say that. When Jesus begins his ministry, he says, the time has come. Hey, time has come. I'm here. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. What? Repent. That's the word. Just repent and believe. Believe the good news. In Mark chapter 6, we read there starting in verse 8, and these were his instructions. He sends out the 12 disciples. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread or bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet. When you leave, as a testimony against them. And I'll get this part. So that's all the stuff you should. It's not talking about what you say, though. Here's what he says you should say. And they went out, and they preached that people should repent. And that's it. They just went out and they preached that people should repent. And then they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So this message kind of comes out of this context when I'm reading the Bible and going, like, there's just not a lot of instruction here. He's just saying, go out and tell them to repent. And I'm not even sure we're doing that. I'm not sure when I talk to people that I'm even talking about repentance. I'm talking about, man, God loves you, or God's got a purpose for you, or you know, you're praying, God's going to answer your prayers. Or do you want to go to heaven? Let me tell you about heaven. Those are the things I get into when I'm telling people about Jesus. But Jesus said when I should be just telling them to repent. Just repent, right? Just repent. He doesn't mean we have to beat them over the head with that. But just that's sort of where it starts, is with repentance. And if you don't believe me, or if you're not convinced yet, just a couple more verses. Now we're reading in Acts. In Acts, where Peter is preaching, and when the church is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and all of these hundreds, and it ends up being thousands of people, get to hear the gospel that Peter is going to present in this amazing first sermon in Acts chapter 2. We read this in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I mean, here's Peter. He's got this captive audience, and the power of the Holy Spirit has just come upon the place, and he stands before everybody, and he says, repent and be baptized. And oh, by the way, boy, I just about forgot this. Baptism service, the 10th of September. So repent and be baptized. You can join me in the water with the number of people that are going to do that. We're going to the river on the 10th of September in 2 weeks. And if it's time for you to repent, and if it's time for you to turn your ways, you know, we're going to go to the river because Jesus said we should do it. And that's a good enough reason. Anyways, that was just a commercial. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then if you turn the page, he says it again in chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. So I think we can agree. There's way more. I could give you probably 10 more verses or 10 more examples of the message that we're supposed to bring to this world. And whether that's a person that lives across the hall or a family member or whoever it is really a pretty simple message. And I don't think we're actually doing it. I think we've kind of forgotten about the repenting part, and we've gotten into all kinds of other things. But that the message is very simple. Jesus says it, and Peter says it, and later on Paul says it. He says, go out and just tell everyone to repent. The problem is we don't really understand what repent means. We don't. And we're going to get into it, Doug, don't worry, because I know we've heard this from you, and I've talked about this too. We know what the word repent, it comes from the Greek word metanoeo, or metanoia if you want the noun, and it means to change your mind. Literally, the word means to change your mind. We've heard that. I've preached on that over the last little while, but and Doug mentions it many different times because he's our resident Greek scholar. But, you know, I've been thinking about that too, though I still don't think we understand that. So we know the meaning, we know the definition, that real repentance is that you got to change your mind. But what does that mean? And what are the implications of that? And we're going to get to that. But I want to start by saying that a lot of times, I think, in the church today, we get confused with repentance and with regret. There's a lot of people that just, you know, they think that's what it means. To repent means just regret. I just regret the way I've lived. I regret all the mistakes I've made. I regret, you know, the bad decisions that I've made. We sort of think that's what repentance means. Even though we know that literally it means a change of mind, we still think of it as remorse or regret. And we throw all those words together thinking they mean the same thing. So and everybody, let's be honest, we've all got regrets. But regret is looking backwards. Repentance is dealing with our sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and looking forward to a new and an exciting life of victory. Amen? So we got to understand that those two things are really different. Repentance, remorse, and regret, those are different things. And we're going to get into some of this. We understand regret. We've all got regrets. But if the only thing you have is regret, it's just going to go in a circle. It's just going to keep going in a circle. Regret repeats itself. You can write that one down. If all you have is regret, it's just going to keep repeating yourself because you're not dealing with your sin. You're not allowing the blood of Jesus to remove your sin from you. Regret, I'm trying to give you the difference between regret and repent. Regret is just always looking backwards. And there are some people, that's what they do their whole lives. They're always looking back. They're always regretting what they did. Man, I should have finished school. Man, I wish I never would have taken that drug. Man, I wish I never would have married that person. And you live without regret, and they just keep looking back. It's like regret is always looking in a mirror. Regret is always looking in a mirror, but repentance is looking forward and knowing that you got a future. And repentance is about an identity. Hear this too. Regret is about a failure. You failed somewhere in the past, and you're fixated on it. But repentance is about a new identity that you have in Jesus Christ. Because in Christ, our sins are dealt with. So, gotta kind of understand that there's this difference. And that regret really doesn't work. I'm going to say that too. I know people, they regret all the time. Every single day they wake up with this, and they think that they're repenting, but they're not. That's not repenting. Oh, what a sinner I am. Oh, I blew it again. Oh, I got to get on my knees again. I got to weep again. And I feel such repentance. They say, well, that's not repentance. It isn't repentance. That's remorse, right? That's not repentance. It's not repentance. So there's a difference between regret and repentance. And if we talk about repentance, and we'll talk now about the word, that it means it's a change of your mind, that is a really helpful definition. It's a change of your mind. It's a change of your purpose. It's, in other words, it's a decision. Repentance is a decision. You are making a decision to do a 180-degree turn. That's really what you're doing when you repent. That worked pretty good, didn't it? I thought, I didn't even practice that. That worked pretty good. Repentance is you're doing a 180-degree turn, and here's the part that's going to sound heretical. You're going to go, I've never heard this before, because this is new for me. But repentance, if we really are going to understand the New Testament understanding of that word, whether it's Paul saying it or Peter saying it or Jesus or John or any of the people in the New Testament talking about repentance, here it is. Repentance is not a feeling. Not primarily. There might be some feeling that goes to it, but it's really a direction. And this is really important, and I hope that you're going to remember this part of it. Repentance is a direction, not a feeling. It's not an emotion. Repentance is not an emotion. It's a direction. You are deciding to change your mind. You change your mind. I'm going to change the way I think. That's what the word means, remember? Metanoia-o. Two words. Meta and noia-o means mind, and meta means to change. I'm going to change my mind. It means that we are deliberately making a decision to turn in a different direction. And that's really what it means to be a Christian. That's what repentance means. I am not going to live that same old way anymore. That's what you're saying. This old way isn't working. I've tried to live this way. I've gone down this road, and I repent, and I feel terrible, and I cry, and I keep going down this road, and I feel terrible, and I cry, and I keep going down this road, because you never change your mind. Because you're never changing your direction. And because you've been told by so many preachers that you just got to feel terrible. As long as you feel awful, as long as you have sorrow in your heart, as long as there's tears in your eyes when you come to Jesus, then Jesus will be happy. But that's not true. It isn't true. What if Jesus is happy is if you just come to him. That's all that he's waiting for. Just turn and come to me, he says. It is not a feeling. Repentance, metanoeo, is not an emotion. It's a direction. I change my mind. I now have the direction of Jesus. I'm going in Jesus' direction. And that's what repentance is. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Now, a little history, and I don't know how much you love history or not, but like the problem has been is that this has been a word that's been misinterpreted in the scriptures. And it's, I don't understand how this exactly happened, except that back in 381, when the Pope asked Jerome to write the Vulgate in Latin, so back way back then, in the Vulgate, when the Bible, that was the original Latin Bible, when that Bible was translated from the Greek and the Hebrew into Latin, they chose the word to do penance for metanoeo. So when it says repent and be baptized in the Catholic Bible, and this became the Catholic Bible, it became do penance and believe, or do penance and be baptized. And that was a wrong translation, because it should have been change your mind or change your direction. That's exactly what Jesus meant. That's what Peter meant when he said those words, change your mind or change your direction. But the church at that time changed it to no, do penance. And believe me, the church has gotten a lot of mileage out of the doing penance. It's been to the benefit of the church to tell people to do penance and then to keep doing penance and then to keep doing penance and to keep repenting and to keep being sorry. And you know as well as I do, you know the history that, you know, you used to have to come to church and put money and then be penitent. And if you put enough money in and if you were sorrowful enough, and this went on for hundreds of years, it's an atrocity. This went on for hundreds of years. If you put enough money into the church coffers, and if you were tearful and sorrowful enough and felt really bad about your sin, you'd be okay. Then we would grant you absolution. You'd be forgiven. When the RSV version was translated in the end of the 1800s, in the early 19th century, they chose at that time to use the word repentance instead of to do penance, but it was still the wrong word. I hope you're following me here. Still the wrong word. It should have been just change your mind. What our Bible should say every time we read it, change your mind and believe. Right? Or change your mind and be baptized. That's what it should say. That's what it should say. Change your direction. Do a Jesus turn. Turn to Jesus. That's what it should say. That's what it should say. Well, the Revised Standard Version late in the 18th century, changed it to, not, instead of do penance, it was just repent. Repent. And almost every, not every, but almost every version has followed suit. Every version, almost every one that we're using is saying repent and believe, repent and be baptized, but just keep repenting. And I'm telling you today, that's not what was intended. That's not what Jesus meant. And it's really not what he wants. And I, again, I'm going to get to some of the, it's one of the questions is going to be, well, do we never feel sorrow for our sin? Don't worry, we'll get to that. But as far as salvation is concerned, as far as our being made right with God is concerned, he's a father who just wants us to turn our direction and to go the way of Jesus. Just go the way of Jesus. And to me, this is a whole fresh new way of thinking. It just changes things, because what it really changes is I can't do this on my own. And the whole idea that we got to keep repenting, I just got to keep feeling bad about myself, I've got to keep coming to Jesus with tears in my eye, I got to confess every sin or I'm going to go to hell. That whole idea, really, if we're honest, the root in that is that I can do something here, that I can make myself righteous, that I can prove by how sorry I am, oh God, I'm so sorry. And God goes, well, I'm glad you're so sorry. I see all your tears. You get to go to heaven. Right? I mean, we maybe don't say this, but this is actually the way we live our lives. This is actually the theology of the new church today, that the more sorry I am, then at least I'm proving to God something. I've got to prove to God that I'm really sorry for what I've done. And then God goes, oh, my child, I see how sorry you are. I see you groveling there. You get to go into heaven. Good groveling, girl. Way to go. Right? And we make a little joke about it, but honestly, I was brought up this way. I was brought up this way that if I didn't confess my sins, if I was missing any by the time I went to bed and I didn't confess everything I did, you better be careful. You might not get into heaven. It's a wrong thinking. It's a bad theology. And it is not what Jesus meant when he said, repent and believe the gospel. And this is huge for me. This is a whole new revelation for me, because I've wondered all my life why this isn't working. This just doesn't work. I know so many people, they just keep repenting. They keep sorrow. They're just sorrow. They really are sorrowful, and there's real tears. It never changes anything, and it's because they haven't changed the direction. They haven't changed their mind. Next week, by the way, we're going to talk about the mind and the battle that's in the mind. I can't get there right now, but just want you to know we're not done with this, okay? So if you leave here going, ah, I got all these questions, you may still have all these questions in 3 weeks, but give me a few more weeks to look at it, all right? But it's about changing our minds. It's not about how bad you've been or how bad you feel. And let's be honest, that's what we think of when we think of the word repent. Agreed? We think of the word repent, we think, oh, we better get on our knees and grovel and wear sackcloth and ashes. That's just not what God wants. I'm a father. I've had children. I have children, and sometimes they disappoint me. Sometimes they sin against me. Sometimes they do things that really hurt me. But I want you to know something. I never want them to come back to me groveling. I'm not even interested, really, in how sorry they are, or that they come to me and say, oh, Dad, I blew it. I've been such a bad son. All I really want is just that they come home. I just want them to come home. I don't care about all the other stuff. Just come into my arms. And that's what God feels, too. He doesn't care that we're feeling. It really isn't about that. He wants to see how sorry we are or how we're groveling again. He just wants us to come home. That's what repentance means. It means just come home. Turn and say, I'm going to go the direction of Jesus. I've tried these other directions. I've tried the direction of drugs. I've tried the direction of me. I've tried the direction of money. None of that stuff works. I am going to turn on my heel. I'm going to do 180 degrees. This is not about how I feel. It's about the direction. And that's what repentance means. Listen, when Jesus talked to his disciples, again, he's a man of few words, it seems. Is this my water?
I hope so.
It is now. He said to his disciples, follow me. That's all he said. And they left their nets, it says, and they went like this and said, okay, we're going to go with Jesus. That is repentance. That's repentance. That's repentance. They just followed him. That's what it is. We make it what it isn't. We make it an emotion that we can never duplicate, that we can never do enough. We can never be sad enough. We can never cry enough tears. And it doesn't work. It hasn't been working. Think about the disciples. They just followed him. And they just did what he said. They left their nets. You got to leave your nets. You got to leave the old behind you. But you go and follow Jesus, and that is repentance, just by responding to the words, follow me. Or how about the prodigal son? Let's talk about the prodigal son for a minute, because that's such a good story, such a great example of repentance, such a great example of someone who is lost and is found. But let's be honest about it. The prodigal son comes back to the father because he's just plain hungry. He's starving. He isn't eating anything. He's lost lots of weight. He's not coming back to the father because he's so sorry for what he's done. He's practicing this sermon. I know what he's doing. He's practicing this speech. But the real motivation why he changes direction has really got nothing to do with his feelings. It has to do with him coming to his senses and going, you know what, I'm going to change my mind about this. This hasn't been working, this feeding the pig thing. Hasn't been working. So he practices the speech. He says, I'm going to get this straight. So dad wants to hear this speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. We're told he practices the speech because it's not really coming from his heart. It's just a sermon. It's a speech he thinks his dad wants to hear. He thinks his dad wants to see the tears falling down his face, when really all the dad wants is just, he wants him to come home. Are you getting this? He just wants him to come home. In fact, he cuts the son off. The son starts with the spiel, right? Father, I have sinned against heaven and on earth, and I'm not worthy to be called. And he says, okay, stop it. Just stop it. Just stop that stuff. Hey, go get a robe and go get a ring and get some sandals. My son who was dead is alive. My son who was lost is found. All that he wants. Do you get this? All that he wants is he just wants his children to come home. Amen? I mean, maybe this is something you've always known, but I wasn't raised in this. I wasn't trained in this. I was trained with a theology that was all about repenting, repenting, repenting. And we got to get on our knees more. We got to repent better. We got to be so sorrowful. And if you're really sorrowful, then maybe God will just, you know, get you in. You can go then. Okay. But that's not what God wants. More importantly, it's not what the word means. And that's what we're talking about today. Metanoia means to change your direction. It doesn't matter, really. And I'll talk next time or something. There's a place for us to confess. There's a place for us to be contrite, to have a contrite heart. But when it comes to knowing Jesus, or when it comes to following Jesus and to be open and to be part of his kingdom, that's not what repentance means. What God just wants us to do is to turn to him and to have a Jesus direction. You know, Jesus never said, that, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever repents and cries out and sheds a lot of tears and believes will enter the kingdom of heaven, will have an everlasting life. He doesn't say that. He says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes will gain an everlasting life. He doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if I open the door and there's tears in your eyes, I'm going to let you in. He doesn't say that. He just says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And whoever will open will come and dine with me. He'll sup with me, right? We add all the other stuff about how we've got to grovel. We have to repent. We have to feel bad. And we've got to keep doing this over and over and over again. The song that we love to sing is not called the Amazing Wretch song. Right? How many know the Amazing Wretch song? It's the Amazing Grace song. But we've been living the Amazing Wretch song. We walk around like we're the amazing, I'm just this amazing wretch. Thank God for his amazing grace, because I've been such a wretch and worm. And, you know, it's not the amazing wretch song, it's the amazing grace song. And I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. But it's all by grace. And I guess I'm not sure I'm communicating this well enough, but otherwise, we think that we can earn this, or we can do it, or there's somehow I can get down low enough and I can shed enough tears that I can somehow crawl my way into glory, and it doesn't work. You hear me? It doesn't work. We're saved by grace, right? We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. We're saved by grace. So, a couple things. I'm going to just sort of tie this together a little bit today, and I want you to think about this. This is, like I said, almost a little scary to preach this because it's a new thing. I have sinned. I'll tell you this. I've sinned in the past where I have told people repenting. I have promoted that kind of that you got to really get real with God. You got to really come broken. You got to really be sorrowful for everything you've done. And really what I'm telling people is you got to pay for this. You're going to pay for this one way or the other. And I don't believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, repent, metanoiao, and believe. So, two things today. Number one, sometimes some of us here today, we struggle with our emotions. Some of you struggle with depression or darkness. You beat yourself up. And if you're not good at beating yourself up, your family will do it for you, or other people. They'll tell you how unworthy you are. I want to tell you today, based on the gospel of Jesus Christ, remember Mark 1:12 or whatever it was, said that you need to repent and just believe the good news. Here's the good news today, is you don't need to feel that way anymore. And anyone who's making you feel like you're unworthy, and if you're doing it to yourself, because we can be the worst culprit in this, you don't need to feel unworthy. You don't need to feel like you need to live in this darkness. You don't need to live in this darkness. And here's a key thing. Stop caring about how you feel. How you feel, or how I feel, really, that is such a subjective thing. One day I'm feeling great. The next day I'm feeling awful. Like, don't let your feelings determine your identity. That's what I'm trying to say today. I believe that God would say this today. Don't let your feelings determine your identity. You are a child of God. And if you have turned to him, he's got his arms wide open, and you belong. You are his. Don't let your emotions, this is not about emotions. Walking with Jesus, being saved, is not about how you feel. It's not about the way you feel. It's about the way you're going. Get it? It's about the way you're going. And so I live my life going, I'm going this way. I don't always do it right, but I'm going to go this way. I know where Jesus is going. He said, follow me. I'm going to follow Jesus. I don't do it perfectly. I stumble and I fall. There are days that I'm joyful and other days that I'm fearful, but I know the way that I have to go, and I'm going to keep walking this way until the day he calls me home. Amen? And don't let your darkness, me and Gertie, come on Gertie, me and you, there you go, thank you. Me and Gertie are really clapping about this one. Don't let the darkness, don't let the enemy, you know, pour that darkness and use your emotions and use your feelings so that you think that you are unworthy or that you don't add up to what other people are doing. That, all of that is just a bunch of garbage. It isn't true. It doesn't matter how you feel, you belong. As long as you have changed your mind, as long as you made up your mind, I'm going to follow Jesus. All the rest of that doesn't matter. You do not need to be under that gloom and under that depression anymore. So don't worry about how you feel. I know this is easy to say, but try to get past how you feel and get into the direction. The direction that, of the Jesus mind that you now have. And the second thing, a few minutes here, is that many of us find ourselves still living in that remorse or that regret. And we think that's a good place to be because the church has told us that. You should be just full of regret, full of repent. Just keep repenting. You don't need to be free of that today. Be free of that. You don't need to feel that overwhelming sense of loss because Jesus Christ has taken that for you. And if we really believe that, I mean, if we really believe that he's paid the price for my sins, And what the Bible says, that my past is covered. Do you believe that? Anyone believe this? My past is covered. Well, I'm going to tell you something that I heard in a sermon this week from Bill Johnson. He said, if your past is covered, then it isn't yours anymore. So stop owning it. Stop rehearsing it. Stop living like it's yours. You gave it. Jesus paid for your past with his blood. It's his now. It's not yours. So you don't need to keep rehearsing it and moaning about it. Stop moaning. You are a child. You are a daughter of Jesus Christ. You're a child of the King. He used this example. He said, it's like this. He says, it's like if you sold your car to somebody, and he now has a deed to that car. It's his car. But if you happen to still have a set of keys at home, I don't know if I've done this before, where you sell a vehicle and you still got a set of keys. One thing you should not do is go find that car and take it for a spin. It will really irritate the person that you sold the car to. Right? You sold the car, you gave it, and even if you have another set of keys, you don't get to go drive it around anymore. And that's still true for us too. You don't get to go living in the past anymore. If you really gave it to Jesus, you don't get to live there anymore. It's his. He paid for it. That's good. Amen? Amen. I'm going to just ask one simple question. Is there anybody here today, you just want to change the direction of your life? Just give me a minute. Yeah, it's time, Elaine. Yeah, come on up here, because there's going to be, I'm asking you to come. Anyone else want to come? We're gonna change our direction right now. Or you can stay there. Maybe someone will come and sit by you. We'll just pray for you. Would you do that, Robin? But here's an opportunity, right? This is for me, this is kind of a new revelation. I want to ask you the question today. Are you ready to change your mind? Are you ready to change your mind and to follow Jesus no matter how bumpy the road might be? Or you go, you know what? This is how I will repent. By following, by going in the Jesus direction. You got Elena here? That's awesome. I believe, Elena, that you're here for a reason. It's not a surprise, not an accident that you're here today. Come here.
I'm scared.
Okay? I get that. What are you scared of?
Pain.
Pain? You're scared of being rejected, aren't you?
Rejected? No, God, no.
No?
Pain.
Okay. Physical pain? You have cancer? Okay. Well, what did Jesus say? He said that we should go, we should tell people to repent, and then he said we should heal those who are sick. You can't all hear this, but she's saying she's got a lump on her breast and she's got a lump in her mouth. Okay. Thank you, God. Okay. Yeah, you don't go through this alone.
I do.
Nope. We're going to go through it with you.
Oh, God.
Yep. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You going to come up here? Karen? I really feel that you need to come up here. The Bible says that we just need to pray. We need to believe. If one of you is sick, the Bible says that we should anoint him with oil and that leaders in the church should pray over them and that they will be healed. We're going to believe this today. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Yeah.
Sorry.
You don't need to be sorry.
Yes,
Elaine, we love you.
I've never been so weak in my entire life.
Yeah. 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 You're in the right place. You have never been so weak in your entire life. You're right. But you came here today. You could have gone anywhere else. You could have stayed in bed. You came here today because you wanted something from God.
I stay in bed 7 days a week.
Well, that's going to change. That's got to change.
Because God created you to live, Leah. And it's time for you to start living.
Yep. My mom died. I should have been.
Nope. Yes. We love you, and we're going to pray healing over you.
My mom died. It should have been me.
I don't believe that. I don't.
Yep. Everybody says that.
Then don't believe it. Elena, is it okay if we pray for you? Okay. You want to pray?
Heavenly Father, I just pray for Elena right now, Lord. Lord, I just pray for her. This cancer that she has in her body, we remove it in the name of Jesus. By the power of the name of Jesus, it is gone.
Amen.
It is gone. Do not claim that. Do not claim that cancer.
Yep.
It does work.
It will.
It doesn't work.
Thank you, Jesus. Believe.
Oh God.
Turn towards Jesus.
But I'm weak. I'm weak. I can't work.
That's okay.
No, it's not okay.
We're in this moment, it's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're just be in this moment.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, we claim the victory. Thank you, Jesus.
That's strength right there.
Yeah. You've shown huge strength. Thank you, Jesus.
You came here today.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that brought my heart to feel. Precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed.
When we've been there.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. If you want to come for prayer, now's a good time. Just come on up. If you need healing, if you just want to show God that you're repenting and you're turning towards Him, I just invite you to come. God, we just want to pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here today. I pray for Elena. God, for her faith to grow. I think it took a lot, Lord, that she was here today. And this is no accident. She's here because you drew her to yourself. You say that unless I draw all men to myself, they'll never be able to come. So you draw her, God. And we believe you, God, today. We believe that you're the God of miracles. We have seen this many times. And so we just claim this miracle today as well. We believe. We ask that you'll strengthen our faith, God. I pray for Elena, for the cancer that they say she has, that you would remove it in Jesus' name, right now, in the name of Jesus. That you will take it away, that you will give her a clean bill of health. And God, that you will restore her confidence and her strength, and that she will recognize that this is only because of you. This could not happen if it weren't for God. And we turn and we change our minds today. We change the way we think. We change the way we think. We turn the direction towards you, Jesus. We repent and we believe. Thank you, God. I pray for Robert and, Lord, for any others who are just needing you today. God, right now, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for freedom. We pray for you to remove the loneliness, remove the fear. God, some of us here, we're struggling with darkness and depression. Take it away right now in Jesus' name. We do not live anymore by our emotions or by how we feel. We live by the direction that we are going, and that is the direction of Jesus Christ. But God, I just pray for those things that we struggle with and the way that the enemy attacks us, often through the matters of our heart or the things that the ways that we feel. And in Jesus' name, we just pray that there's going to be victory in that, God. Thank you for this body. Thank you for this community. Thank you, God, that we're not alone. We don't journey alone. We journey together. Build us up, Lord, and build us in the faith. Thank you, God. We just stand together, and we join our faith together, and we say, Lord, we believe in the miracles. We believe in the healing. We believe that you are the one. You're the good shepherd, and you restore my soul. Right now, Lord, restore our souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to let these guys pray, and if there's more people that want to come up, we're going to sing that song one more time as we conclude here. I think it really fits in. So I need some help, all the singers. We just heard that Mitchell, his mom passed away. I did not know that. So what was her first name again?
Emily.
Let's pray for Mitchell. Thank you, God. Lord, so for Mitchell, Marina, remember them and pray for them as they mourn. Mitchell's mom, for Emily. Thank you, God, that Emily was a saint, that she knew you and she lived for you. And for the 90-some years that she had many years, you blessed her with. So God, welcome her into your glory and into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Let's worship God. It's all about worship and praise.
You are my joy.